time, I would have added a little bit. I would have said, all you need is love of God through his son, Jesus Christ. But he was getting there. He was on the way. Someone told me that before John Lennon died, he did accept Christ. Yay. Yeah. Beatles music in heaven. All right. The title slide today is kind of fun. It's called Unlikely Friendships, and it sort of makes sense. I'm not sure which one of those two people is more fearful of the other. I don't know. I think he's more afraid of her. You know, we often fear what we don't understand. I'm not sure either one of them understand the other, but they're sitting there. They're close. That's a good start. Have you ever had an unlikely friendship? Jesus did. He befriended a tax collector. Nobody was befriending tax collectors, and he ate with him. And I'm sure the Pharisees just went nuts. Once upon a time, I had an unlikely friendship. So let me tell you about this little story. When I was a kid, I grew up next door to a family who was a bit different from us. And I wasn't quite sure what to make of them. And every time my stepmother would talk about them to someone, she'd say, "Those people next door, you know, they're Jewish." Like they had a disease you could catch. "Ooh, I'm going to get Judaism." And she did it all the time because she was frightened. She didn't know what to expect. She didn't understand. I wasn't encouraged to be friends, even though they had kids my age. Family says, "No, no, no, don't go over there." But of course, I was a rebellious 10-year-old, so guess what I did? I ran next door and made best friends with the little Jewish kids. I spent as much time as possible with them. They were the only Jewish family in the entire white neighborhood, and so everyone was understandably curious. And the neighbors weren't real happy that we were getting close. You know, neighbors talk, and it was interesting. Anyway, this was a budding friendship. And yes, it was unlikely, but the Jewish kids and the quasi-Christian kid at the time, we really did learn from each other. Here's what I learned. The joy of bagels. And I knew how to sing the entire rendition of Hava Nagila. That's what I learned from my Jewish friends. I learned they got a gift every night at Hanukkah. Are you kidding me? Okay, so here's what I taught them. I know you know what's coming. I taught them about Christmas trees. I taught them about chocolate Easter bunnies. I didn't really know much about Christianity or Jesus. I just knew, you know, some of the good stuff. Anyway, I spent time with them, and I thought, you know, I kind of like this Jewish stuff. This is pretty fun. So I decided I was going to become Jewish. And I was going to teach them how to be Lutheran. Of course, I didn't know how to be Lutheran, but I was going to teach them anyway. But one night I got in trouble because I taught the Jewish kids the words to the song Silent Night. The Jewish parents came over to the house, and they were understandably upset. And my father was a bit peeved, but, you know, we smoothed everything over. And then he looked at me, and he got happy, and he said, "I didn't even know you knew the words to Silent Night." So there was a little bit of progress there. Anyway, I grew up. I moved away. I never became Jewish, and to my knowledge, my Jewish friends never accepted Christ. Now, remember, this took place in the mid-60s, which is older than most of you are alive, in a totally white, cookie-cutter house-type neighborhood. And so for that time frame, it was an unlikely friendship. Certainly not today, because all you need is love. So the message today is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Please feel free to read along in your Bibles, or it's going to be up on the screen. In the ESV version, it's on page 661. In the NIV version, it's on page 878. It's not a very long passage. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Now, I've read a lot of translations because, you know, they all vary a little bit. And most of them either said laid down or surrendered. It's pretty much the same thing. It's very strong language, serious stuff. But then I went to a translation called The Message. You guys know about The Message? It's really more of a paraphrase than a translation, but I really liked what this says. So bear with me as I read it in The Message. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. Whoa. You made it disappear. Is that convicting? Think maybe we ought to think about that? I do. I just read that over and over and over again and went, wow, God, okay. I'm going to pay more attention, I promise. So does laying down your life for the brothers mean you jump in front of a speeding car to save someone? Does it mean you take a bullet for somebody? Does it mean you perform any other heroic deed? It could. It could. This particular scripture doesn't go into detail or explanation of how we can put into practice this surrendering our lives for our brothers. But it isn't hard to figure out. Come on. What kind of love did Christ show? Selfless? Sacrificial? Unconditional? Love that is greater than your own feelings. Love that doesn't stop to analyze. Love that doesn't distinguish between color, size, gender, sexual preference, or political party. God created us for love, for him to love us, and for us to love him and to love others. It's that simple. It says on the next page in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Remember when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples? Remember that? I tried to do that with my small group. Man, it didn't go over well at all. But the question I have is, why did he do this? Why did he want to wash the feet of his disciples? What was he trying to teach them? Yeah, he was trying to teach them humility and love. The answer to that is actually in Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. In other words, we should symbolically be washing our neighbor's feet out of selfless love all the time. Symbolically. I'm not asking you to go home and wash your neighbor's feet. It won't go over well, trust me. And of course, the greatest example of sacrificial love was Jesus on the cross. I mean, now that's love. You see, God's love empowers us to love. Remember last week, Richard spoke of how we are compelled to love? We are, right? Do you agree? Absolutely. Okay, now I'm going to tell you about a buddy of mine, Bob. This is a guy who really knows how to love others. This is Bicycle Bob. He lives here in Florida. I met him at the church, the Vineyard, up in Dayton, Ohio. And he bicycles up and down the East Coast from Florida up to Canada, back and forth, talking about God, saving souls, just praising the Lord and evangelizing. And he's just the coolest thing in the world. Of course, he's, you know, he's not much to look at. He's got those summer teeth. Some are here, some are missing. Mm-hmm. He's got long hair. He doesn't have any fancy clothes. He's not that articulate. But when he starts to speak, he captures your heart with his great love. You just can't help but sit and listen to him because he is on fire for Jesus. When I met him, I was teaching spiritual disciplines at the Vineyard there in Dayton. And he wanted to come to class. And I said, sure, come on in and join us. So I'm sitting there going through, I don't even remember which discipline, and suddenly I thought, why am I doing this? This man has infinitely more to bring to this discussion than me and my spiritual discipline. So I said, Bob, tell us about your life. Tell us about your travels. Talk to us about who you meet and what you do. And he did, and it was, I wish I'd had a recording of it. It was that good. He's so passionate. And he talked about the good things and the bad. I mean, he's by himself. He doesn't carry a weapon. He's got a backpack, a tent. He carries a teeny tiny little trailer. He, like the early disciples, depends on others to take care of him. And often they do. And sometimes he gets hit by a car. It's what you want to do for Jesus. Do you want to take risks? He does. And he does a great job. I love Bicycle Mom. I think he's in Quebec now. I saw him on Facebook the other day. Need to go find him on Facebook. He has this relentless love for God. Relentless love. And that's kind of what I wish and would encourage all of us to embrace. God's relentless and everlasting love. And then pass it on. In Galatians 5:13, it says, For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love. And here's one everybody knows. Galatians 5:22. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Very good. First fruit of the Spirit is love. Absolutely. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I remember when I first learned that, I was so proud of myself. Because that's a mouthful of things. But the first fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, we must always love. Love God. Love our neighbors. Love our friends. Even love our enemies. But before you go out of here screaming, what about my ex? I can't love that person. What about that person down the street who tells stories about me? I can't love that person. What about my boss? He is such a toad. Let me tell you, you can love them. You can find a way. I never said you had to be their best buddies. You don't. My friends, there is no commandment that says we have to be doormats to toxic people. And there are toxic people. You know what we do? We pray. Yes, as Matthew tells us, when we're slapped, we turn the other cheek. We strive to be kind and to be charitable. But out of love, we pray for toxic people. We ask God to unharden their hearts. We ask God to unharden our hearts towards them so that we may love them. And even like them. And sometimes it takes a long, long time. The first time I told a friend of mine that I was praying for the ISIS fighters, she just lost her mind before she let me finish my sentence. And after she calmed down, I said, you didn't let me finish. I'm praying that Jesus will show himself in these amazing, miraculous ways that they can't help but accept Jesus in their hearts. And she said, how can you do that? And I said, because we're commanded to. It's love. We pray for our enemies. It's not easy. but it's something we do. In his last discussion with his disciples, this is what Jesus said. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." Did you catch that? Did you get it? It's a commandment. In 1 John, the apostle tells us of Jesus' willingness to lay down his life. It's a selfless act of love, but it's also an attitude. It's the same attitude that Jesus commanded his disciples to have for others. And it's the very same attitude that we should have for others. You know, love is presented to us and modeled for us throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. I did a word search. Don't you love doing word searches? Software is so much fun these days. I did a word search on love, and it occurs in the Bible 686 times. So it's a recurring theme throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's God's redemptive love. And I find it interesting that a few weeks ago I talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you know, this one. And here we are in 1 John, same chapter, verse 3:16. And both of them point to Christ for salvation. So there's no randomness in the Bible. None. In 1 John 3:16, he's telling us Jesus laid down his life because of God's love. Jesus is not just the model, he's also the means. And there are other kinds of love that are mentioned in the Scriptures besides sacrificial love. The sacrificial love of Jesus is the Greek word agape. I'm sure you've heard it. We use it a lot. There are other Greek words, but we don't really need to use them. It's familial love, you know, like a father and a son. The love between a husband and a wife, love between siblings. So there are Greek words for these types of love, but agape is the one we most hear about. Agape love is love at its most ultimate. It's such a special term that it was hardly ever used in Greek-speaking societies. But in the New Testament, the term agape occurs 320 times. It's important. So we see that love is woven throughout this redemption story in the Bible, because it is the story. From beginning to end, the Bible is all about love and what happens when you don't love. All right, how many of you, when you got married, did the love passage in 1 Corinthians 13? Raise your hands. Come on, I know there has to be somebody out here who did it besides me. You guys did it. It was very popular some years ago. You know what it is. Love is patient, love is kind. That one. Love does not envy or boast. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest is love. Doesn't that make you feel good? Do you feel loved? Do you feel the love? Do you feel the love in here? Come on. Do you feel it? Makes me feel so good. God loves us with this amazing, ultimate, agape love. And that's what we give out to others. Here at the Vineyard, we talk a lot about relationships. I know you've heard it over and over again. Relationships are about love. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers. All relationships are maintained with love. If you look in the back of your Bibles at the concordance and you look up the word love, you're going to find a lot of scripture, because there's a lot of love in the Bible in various forms. But you know, there's something that trumps love. Only one thing. Only one thing trumps love. And that's obedience to God. Obedience to God comes first. You see, it's His commandment to love. It doesn't get any simpler. It isn't any more clear. We are commanded to love. If you obey God, you will love. It will come naturally. One follows the other. What happens when we obey God? Good things? Sometimes. Not all the times. You can obey God and still some bad things happen, but that's another message for another day. But what happens when we don't obey God? Remember Lot, who turned into a pillar of salt? I don't want to turn into a pillar of salt. God tells me to do something. Guess what I'm going to do? What He tells me to do. He told me to come down here to Florida. I thought he was nuts. But I came, and I'm really glad I did, because he was right. I belonged down here. So are you willing to obey God? Are you willing to live a life of love? Are you willing to live the life He created for you? The life that He designed especially for you, taking into account all your gifts and all your talents. He knows them all. The life where you love Him and then you take His love to others. Or will you squander the love He's given you? You know, Christians do that all the time. We have such a bad rep. We come to church. We raise our hands. We sing. We dance. We hug each other. We say, I love you. We pray. We walk out and tell the pastor, you did a great job. And we walk out into the parking lot. And the first thing we do is we get in our car and we drive down the road and we flip some guy off because he cuts us off. You know, it doesn't take 10 minutes to leave church and you've already squandered love. It doesn't take 10 minutes. And I'm not saying I've never done it either. Believe me. Sometimes my hands, I really ought to have them duct taped. But friends, I encourage you, I implore you, we must not forget to love. We need to put this in the compartment of our brain where we have constant access to it. We need to be able to pull this from our heart constantly to show love. We must not forget. It's at the core of what we believe. It's at the very core. So let's go back to the text of 1 John 3:16 through 18. Did the first verse. Let me do verses 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So what's the Apostle John saying to us here? He's telling us that we need to take this sacrificial love that Jesus has modeled for us, and we need to take it out into our practical daily lives. So let me paraphrase the text a bit. If you have something, some material good, and you see someone who's in need, and you intentionally turn your back and walk away, you don't possess the love of God. Let's go back to you made it disappear. It's true. How many of us have done it? I bet every hand would go up, but I don't want to see them because we're human. And our fleshly nature makes us prideful, arrogant, sinful. And sometimes we'll just let something happen and walk away from it. Even though in our heart we know, I should have stopped and helped that person. Why didn't I? Fear. Fear is usually the first problem. Okay, here's a cute story. Let me lift this up a little bit. I feel like I'm beating up on you. When I was a kid, I was looking out the front window in my living room. And there was this old lady down the street. We didn't really like her, but, you know, she's an old lady down the street. She's trying to get her groceries inside, and she's not doing real well. I mean, groceries are falling out. And so I'm standing there snickering. You know, I'm 10 years old. That's funny stuff. So I'm standing there laughing. Well, my great Aunt Margaret was living with us at the time. And when I say great, I mean great Aunt Margaret. Looked about 7 feet tall, and she was frightening. She had God in her voice always. It was like thunder when she spoke, and I was terrified of this woman. Of course, I later grew to just adore her, but as a little child, she was a little scary. You know, she'd come up to you, and you'd say, I'm going to die. So anyway, I'm standing there at the window, and I'm laughing at this lady, and my Aunt Margaret comes up beside me, and she says, Linda Kay, you go help that woman. And I looked at her and I said, why should I do that? And she hit me on the back of my head. And with the voice of thunder, she says, because it's the right thing to do. Guess what I did? I scrambled down the street and helped that lady with the groceries because it's the right thing to do. Do we all know the right thing to do? Do we? Have we been taught? Of course we have. Do we all do the right thing? Maybe not. Why not? Because it's not that easy. We're busy. We have other things to do. And just because I don't do the right thing, maybe someone else will do it right after me. So it's not that big a deal. It is that big a deal. It is that big a deal. We must always do the right thing. There's going to be a day when you stand before the throne and Jesus will want to know, did you do the right thing? Did you take care of my sheep? Did you help? Did you love? It's about showing love. It's not about gathering up the neatest toys and the coolest stuff and the biggest cars. And no, it's about love. So here's my advice on that. Slow down. Now, I tell myself that a lot. Do I do it? No. I'm 60 million miles away, completely ADD, off here, and then I see something over there. But I'm trying very hard to follow my own advice because we must pay attention to what is going on around us. Our world is nuts. It's nuts. And it's getting worse every day. And the only way to counteract any of this nonsense going on is through love. I mean, I feel like a hippie from the 60s. You know, it's about love, dude. It is. It is about love. Love can change anything. God can change anything. Our God is greater than this ISIS nonsense. Our God is greater. Your enemy wants you to be afraid. I tell you, don't be afraid. So pay attention to what's going on around you. Maybe somebody needs something. You know, I do congregational care here, but nobody seems to know it because we don't have a perfect little program structured that's set out. I keep telling people, if you need help, if you go to the hospital, if you're sick, if you need to go to the doctor, call me. If I can't help you, someone will. But people never call. Because, oh, I don't want to bother you. Bother me. That's what we're here for, to love on each other. And if you need help and I can help you, I want to help you. And I have other people who would like to help you too. If you don't choose to do the right thing when you are presented with the right thing to do, if you can do the right thing and you intentionally don't, you don't have Christ in your heart, period. If he abides in you and you abide in him, you can't help but love others. You can't help but want to help others. Really, that's it. It's love. Selfless, sacrificial, non-judgmental, unconditional. It's the right thing to do. Am I going to tell you it's easy? No, I'm not going to tell you it's easy because it is not easy. It can be very hard. I think it's fascinating. This happens here at the Vineyard all the time in communion. April was talking about Jesus as he prayed in the garden, and that's exactly what I'm going to bring up. Because as he prayed in the garden, he had fleshly fear of what was ahead. He knew what was coming. It's like, Father, I really don't want to do this. I know it's the right thing to do, but I really, is there any other way we can get this accomplished? Please, can you take this cup of suffering from me? Yet not my will, but yours be done. He knew what was right, and he did what was right. But he had that momentary, I don't want to do this. It's okay. We all go through that. Sacrificial living, sacrificial love, was even difficult for Jesus. Do you have people in your life that are hard to love? Anybody here? Do you? Can't imagine why. I do too. But I'm working on learning how to get along with them. Did you ever stop to think that in someone else's life, we're the ones that are hard to love? Did you? Think you might be hard to love? Think you might be hard to love? It's kind of hard to wrap your head around it. I mean, I think I'm a really nice lady. I think I'm a good friend. I think I'm fun to be with. I think I'm funny. We can have a good time. I can't imagine that someone thinks I'm hard to live with. And then I do a little praying and I realize, wow, Linda, you are an opinionated broad. You got a big mouth. You don't always have your filters on. And while you mean well, you truly mean well, sometimes crap comes out that you can't pull back in. So yeah, I can be hard to live with, and I think all of us share the same thing, but it's a work in progress. We are God's work in progress. So we keep trying. Just because someone's hard to live with, you don't give up. You pray and pray and pray and fall on the floor and weep. Lord, help me. This person's going to drive me to my grave. But we keep working on it because that's what we do. That's what Christianity is supposed to be about. Here at the Vineyard, sometimes we say that we show God's love in a practical way. We do that when we're out giving out bottles of water. We just say, oh, we just want to show you God's love in a practical way. Or we'll have a car wash and we'll pay them. It's showing you God's love in a practical way. Here at the church, we do this through many of our outreaches. We do it through fellowship meals. Outside of the church, well, we also do it through prayer. But outside of the church, you all show God's love in a practical way in your daily contact with people. Maybe you surprise them with a random act of kindness. Do y'all know what a random act of kindness is? Okay. Do you ever pay for someone's coffee at the drive-thru? The guy behind you? It's so cool. It's fun because you just made someone else's day a little bit better. You just made someone smile. Once I pulled up to the window of a McDonald's, I was so proud. I was so proud. Our pastor had said, I want everybody to go out this weekend, and I want you to pay for the guy behind you. Okay. So I pull up, and I'm going to pay for the guy behind me. So I told the lady, hey, I want to take care of the bill for whoever is behind me. And she looked at me, and she said, are you sure, honey? Because that woman's order comes to $30. And I sat there, and I thought, man, that's a lot of Happy Meals. I thought she was going to have a cup of coffee and a breakfast sandwich. What do I do, God? And God says, get in your wallet and pay it. And I said, that's all right, ma'am. I want to pay for this. So I took out, and you know, I had $30 and enough to cover my cup of coffee, and that was it. So God knew. He had it in hand, and it was a test. You know, are you going to do it? Are you going to do the right thing? I did the right thing. I haven't done that for a while. You know, that's kind of what I get for being proud. When you do these things and you're doing them out of the wrong, if you're doing it because you're doing it for you, it isn't going to work. I am here to tell you that. It is going to backfire all over you. But if you do it for God, it's amazing. So here's my favorite random act of kindness. I let others go ahead of me in the grocery store. On a day I don't have much to do, which isn't often, I will go into the grocery store. Maybe I have to pick up a few items, and I'll stand there kind of off to one side. And as people start to move in, I'll pull up. And then here comes this lady, and she's got a basket full of stuff. And I'll go, ma'am, why don't you go ahead of me? And she'll look at me. Are you kidding? No, go ahead. I got all day. It's no big deal. Just go ahead of me. And so they go ahead, and they just can't believe it. And then here comes a young mother, and she's got a baby and toddlers, and, you know, the hair is hanging down, and her eyes are glazed, and she's just a mess. And she has just a couple of items, but she stands behind me, and I said, sweetie, please, go ahead. I have plenty of time. I don't have anywhere to go. And she just beamed at me, and I went, oh, thank you, God. You put a smile on that woman's face. And then I had a lady who argued with me. No, you go ahead. No, ma'am, please go ahead. No, I couldn't possibly do that. No, really, I'm not kidding. I want to bless you by letting you go ahead of me. And she still, I just couldn't do it. I insist. And, you know, inside I'm thinking, God, I just want to smack this woman. All she wants to do is argue. I'm trying to bless her. How am I going to bless her? Keep the smile on my face, please. She finally went ahead. Thank you, God. I didn't bleed. Showing love can be a simple act, but you know what? It might take a little bit of work on our parts. And I want to encourage you to find the time to love on people, no matter what it takes. You know, if it's hard, be gracious and walk away and pray. Try again another day. If someone doesn't want anything to do with you, that's okay. They don't have to. You just smile and turn around. When we give out water, you'd be surprised the people who get really nasty. I don't want your water. Lady, it's 90 degrees out here. It's free. It's cold. Why don't you want some water? Well, because that's from your church. No, it's from our hearts. It's free. Take it. And then they try and give you a donation. No, we don't want any money. Well, here's $10. No, we don't want any money. They want to give you money. At the Dayton Vineyard, one of our favorite things to do at Christmas time was to do free gift wrapping at the mall. And so we'd go to the mall, and they would provide all the lovely gift wrapping and, you know, the boxes and the ties and stuff. And I used to go every year because it was so much fun, although my husband knows I can't tie boxes and wrap. It's awful. But I would go ahead and do it because it was free and it was done with love. And one day I was standing there, and I was wrapping this box, and didn't look too bad. Had a lot of scotch tape on it, but it didn't look too bad. And he said, thank you so much. Here's a donation for your church. And I went, no, we don't want a donation. And he came right up to me and he said, I said, here's a donation for your church. And I said, well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. But we don't want your money. This is us showing God's love in a practical way. We want to bless you by wrapping a present for you. And he slammed that $10 bill down on the counter and he said, you will take it. I turned around and I, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, I can't force him not to pay me. So I just let it sit there. And about an hour later, he came back with another package. Now, we were only supposed to wrap one per person. He came back with another package and I went over and I said, well, hi, how are you? Can I wrap that package for you? And he could see the $10 bill was still sitting there on the counter. And he said, yes, would you please wrap this package? And I'm sorry I yelled at you. I said, would you like your $10 back? He said, can I? Yes, you can. Here's your $10 back. Thank you for letting us love on you. And he said, I've just never had anyone do this before. I said, good. Pass it on. Pass it on. Have you ever been out at a pond? You're out on vacation. Maybe you're camping. And you're throwing rocks, throwing pebbles in the pond. What happens to the water? It ripples. Man, you guys are good. You have to come to some of my classes. You'd be great to teach. Yes, it ripples. And as you throw the stone, if you do it right, it just ripples repeatedly. Well, that's what love does. It ripples. It ripples out into the community. When you touch one heart, that one heart will be inclined to touch another heart. And that heart will be inclined to touch another heart. And it ripples, and it ripples, and it ripples. And it's a wonderful thing to see. Love is missional. And it is our mission to take God's great love to others. Not just here in the church. Not just here in Brooksville. Not just out in Spring Hill. But to the ends of the earth is the Great Commission. The gospel goes to the ends of the earth, and it's God's great love. You see, the message is the love of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The message is that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you want eternal life? I do. I'm signed up. I want to go. But you can't do it unless you love. And you're going to fall back. You're going to make mistakes. It's okay. You're human. But the good thing is, we go, God, I'm so sorry. I've really messed that up. I'm sorry. I repent. Forgive me. And God gets up there and he just erases the whole thing. And you start again. So it's like, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Well, that's the same way it is with love. If you don't succeed, it's okay. If you get a little battered and beaten up trying, it's okay. Keep trying, especially with the difficult people. Try, because you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what they're going through. None of us knows what the other is living with, unless you're inside them, and we're not. So while they may be cranky, nasty, maybe they're having a really horrible day. Everything is wrong. Their house burned down. Their dog died. Everything is wrong. The police are after them. I mean, it could be anything. Or it could be they just got out of bed on the wrong side and they're grumpy. But we love them anyway. You know, if you struggle in any way with this idea of selfless love, if you're still on the fence about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to have prayer teams. They're going to be up front. There's going to be some in the back. I want to encourage you to go for prayer. You know, prayer is an extension of love. And so as we pray for people, we love on them. It's all about love. All you need is love. Love God. Love people. Pass it on. Let's worship the Lord.